My name's David, I'm an addict. David, addict. Peter, sit down. Maybe we could start with a moment of silence for the still suffering addict, followed by the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the strength to accept things I cannot change, the courage to change things I cannot, and the wisdom to know it. Okay, welcome to this first World Board workshop. My name is Dave, I'm an addict. I'm a member of the World Board. Saul Alvarado is also a member of the World Board. These workshops are probably going to be slightly different to ones that you've been to at World Conventions in the past. I went to a workshop a couple of years, well, it's probably quite a long time ago now, at a World Convention. And a couple of board members sat at the front and talked for like 35 minutes each about whatever the topic was. And then the people in the audience kind of had a little chance to ask a few questions, and I really found it not very useful. So over a period of time, we've developed a slightly different system of doing workshops that's a little bit more interactive and a little bit more trying to capture the experience of you guys, us members of Narcotics Anonymous. I come from Manchester, England, which is about 28 hours travelling to get here. I feel slightly disorientated. I still feel a little bit dizzy from, I don't know whether it's the humidity or I've got ears full of water from swimming in the ocean every morning. So my face sometimes looks a bit serious. It's more because I'm trying to kind of do stuff right rather than just because I'm generally a miserable person. So you'll have to bear with me. The desired outcomes of this session are to discuss scenarios about the 12 traditions and the 12 concepts, hear about your thoughts and your experiences of the 12 traditions and the 12 concepts, and also introduce you to a small group discussion process that we've developed over a period of time. So maybe I can ask if there's any of you that have been to any small group discussions of this type before. Okay. Oh, okay. So a lot of people. So kind of 50%. So maybe you can help out the people that are new to this process. The World Service Office receives about 1,500 correspondence a month, whether by email, letter, fax, phone calls, about the traditions and the concepts. And staff try to respond to those communications. So what we're going to do as a way of getting talking about that is to try to give you a flavour of what some of those communications are, and then you try and... could I ask you guys to maybe sit on the table over there with those two people so that we fill up the tables rather than sit separately, because we're going to need to have... I guess... Pete, could you let me kind of do this and I'll get to it? We need to fill up the tables if we can, rather than have people sit at separate tables. Okay. So what we're going to do is first of all, I'm going to run through what you've got on your table, and then we're going to have a little bit of an introductory session. These types of meetings, for those of you that have not done them before, are very different in that you go to your normal recovery meeting, the secretary opens the meeting. I don't know about your home group, but there's always someone who wants to talk shit for 20 minutes about something that's totally irrelevant. And the secretary sits there, and then we all say, thanks for sharing, and then the next person shares. So this is slightly different in that we're asking that somebody facilitate the little meeting that's going to take place on your table. Okay, so in the middle of the table is facilitator instructions. The facilitator, we're going to ask to ask the group to participate in a particular way, and unlike a regular recovery meeting, they're not going to just allow someone to talk for an extended period of time, and then take up the time of the group. We've developed some brainstorming guidelines and some suggested ground rules. The suggested ground rules: stay open-minded, listen and share the time, remember to play well with others, don't forget why we're here, stay focused on the subject at hand, lively conversation is productive. The brainstorming guidelines on the other side, and you can take all this stuff away with you. One good idea leads to another good idea. Be part of, participate, and above all, have fun. So like I say, I'm probably going to be a bit serious standing here at the front, telling people to be quiet while I try and do what I'm trying to do. And the facilitator for the small group, again, leave the group in choosing a recorder who agrees to keep notes of the discussion. Repeat the group's assignments on how much time there is to do it. Watch the time. We've got one clock over there that I'm working on, which I can hardly see from here, but that's the only place that they could figure to hang it. Keep discussion focused on the topic. Oh, number three, watch the time. Make sure everyone has a chance to speak, so we're not letting anybody dominate the group. Lead the group in summarising their discussions. At the end, be clear about what will be reported from your group's discussion. And most importantly, have fun. So let's try and keep it a little bit light-hearted. We've got some note paper for you to take notes on and some pens. We've got some condensed versions of the concepts and the 12 traditions of NA. The concepts one is the bit that's taken from the booklet, the 12 concepts, and it's the kind of introductory section for each of the concepts. And then the traditions, we've got just a brief summary of the 12 traditions. It's not too abbreviated, but just to give you some information. What we wanted to do first, guys, if you could join a table that there's people already sitting at, then that would be pretty helpful. So we're scheduled to run for an hour and a half. We're going to finish quite promptly at 11:30, so if you want to get back in the queue for the merchandise or registration, then we'll be able to do that. What we want to do first of all is, I'm going to ask you to go around the table, and we're going to introduce this idea of round robin. So what you get when we actually start doing the discussion, and the facilitator needs to kind of enforce this, if you like, which is very different from a usual secretary role, is to go round your group on your table, and one person talk, and then the next person talk, and it goes round the table. If you've got nothing to say, you can pass. If you talk for too long, or you ramble on about something that's, you know, we don't want to hear about your last divorce or your last, you know, I was in hospital for whatever. Let's try and keep it focused on what we're talking about. We're going to go around the table. You can pass or you can talk, and the facilitator, we're going to ask to keep people focused on that. And keep going around the table until the time's up. We're going to do a little thing at first just to introduce ourselves. And what I want you to do is go around the table, say who you are, where you're from, what your clean time is, what your current service is in NA, and one personal detail. Okay? Doesn't need to be too intimate, like I've got kind of, you know, not too intimate, but one personal detail, like I've got rabbits or, you know, whatever. I'm in love with whoever, you know. So one personal detail, not too intimate. So just to go around the table, we're going to say at the most this is going to take 3 minutes, okay? So on each table, let's start now, and on that clock, we're going to be finished by 15:15 on that clock. Okay. Okay, we're running out of time. How many have we got to go? You've been around once? Okay. Okay. What's that? Okay, one personal detail. I'm going to ask you to focus back on me for a while, guys. Ask this group one personal detail that you heard on this table. It's interesting. Don't tell me who it was.
Okay. You
talking to the microphone.
I'm just asking them.
No, I'm asking you.
Asking me? Okay. One person here shared that he jumped out of a perfectly good airplane in Hawaii from 2 miles up, and that is something you will never see me do.
Okay. Can I ask you one personal detail you heard at this table? You can have to be quicker than that.
Just the honesty of people saying how they're service junkies.
Okay, thanks. Could I ask you to share one personal detail you have?
Someone at this table is married to the same person for over 30 years.
Wow. Well done. Can I ask you one that you heard here?
Well, one personal detail I heard here is somebody loves to play golf, and I'd certainly like to talk to them more about that after this forum.
Okay. Can I ask you one personal detail you heard at this table?
I love you, Nate.
Okay, the next 20 minutes, what we're going to try and do is we've handed out some letters from a sample of letters we get out of the World Service Office. There's three letters, so I'm going to ask, first of all, you're going to need to figure out a facilitator and a recorder. So if you've done this sort of stuff before, dive in and volunteer to be facilitator and a recorder to record your responses. We don't want a consensus of what your responses are, but just bullet points, brainstorming, just ideas of what your response would be to this letter. Okay, so I'm going to ask that these three tables, and I realise that table's a little bit thin at the moment, but more people will come, I'm sure. So these three tables do question one. Letter one. These two tables do letter two, and this table to do letter three. Okay? So we're going to do the round robin thing where the facilitator is going to ask you to go around the table one at a time. You can talk or you can pass. We don't want to be having a discussion across the table about your response to what someone said. You need to wait until it comes out of your turn. So part of the deal is that this process, I'm trying to talk louder because someone's making me. Part of the process is to be able to discuss issues that are quite difficult. So when you go back to your home fellowship and you want to talk about something that's difficult, if you put this process in place, it allows us to talk about very difficult issues that we may get emotional about without it degenerating into some kind of free-for-all. So once we've got the idea sorted out, we can go around the table one at a time and just talk one at a time about the issue rather than diving in and trying to respond to what someone said across the table. Okay, so you need to figure out a facilitator and a recorder, and we're going to do till 25 to on that clock there. Okay? Keep going around the table, keep going. If you finish, you can start on another letter, so you've got a response to the next letter, but focus on the one letter first. If you've got any questions, if you put your hand up, Saul and I will come and try and answer the question individually rather than tie the whole group up. Okay? Let's go. Okay. What we're going to do now, I'm going to hand over to Saul, who's going to come around to each table and ask you for one point from each table. What we're going to do is record it on these post-its. This room's a little bit big for this. We would prefer to have had a stand here so that you could read what I'm going to write over there. But in some situations, the World Board has done these workshops throughout the world, and we've collected input like this, and we've gone away and we've used input from these types of workshops. We've had people type up as we record your input. We've had people type up, we've had it on post-it notes, and we've taken that away and used that input. Today, we're not really going to use what you're going to give us, but we're going to record it to show you the process. so that when you go back to your area or your region or your zone, you can use the same process and you could collect the information. So Sal's going to come around and ask you for info. We're going to spend maybe 15 minutes doing this. I'm going to try and record it, and I'm going to try and keep the time as well. So, Saul.
Yes, all right, Hadi. Now that you have discussed your traditional lens and how to deal with it using the 12 traditions, we are ready to share our ideas. So what we're going to do, we pass the mic table by table. So one person from the, for each table can summarize a key idea that arises in the discussion. So we're going to be in here.
Hi, family. I'm John. I'm an addict. And with letter one dealing with group finances, we felt that it boiled down to that it came down to a group conscious deciding how they handle their funds and interpreting that into the concepts. It's about a single point of accountability. And that's the main concept, or that's the main idea that we came up with here.
Thank you. Next. Who is the facilitator?
So just before you start again, I'm writing down, it's a group decision about how you handle your money. That was the one point.
Okay.
I'm not sure we have... I think one of our points was that each group is autonomous, which kind of mimics the this table's point, I guess.
Number one.
Right. Does anyone else want to make another point here?
If you've not got anything different, that's okay.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll come back to you in a minute.
Did you want to say anything else?
Okay, the next table. All these tables are on letter one.
Hi, my name is Andy. I'm an addict.
Hey.
And we were working on number one, and we took a basic group conscious that... Group conscious, it's really boils down to, when you're dealing with the seventh tradition, that it's ultimately a group conscious of how the money should be handled. But we also agreed that if available, that we could set up a bank account. Some groups, out of this table here, had an opportunity to set up a bank account, nonprofit bank account, that didn't cost money. And that was able to, facilitate the meeting appropriately.
Okay, so set up group bank account. Okay. Fairly simple point so far, but that's okay. Let's continue. We're kind of doing this as an exercise. Part of the deal is for you guys to share with each other. Let's continue.
Now the tables have discussed the letter number two.
Hi, family. My name is Dan. I'm an addict. We had letter number two, which talked about... voting at on ASC business, and we discussed it and we came up with the fact that we felt that we needed to educate the group's members, being able to take like the old timers who have been through this, set up a workshop and explain how the ASC works and how voting is important, and that there would be no way to force groups to document their members due to anonymity. And we felt that the fourth tradition was very much at hand on the number two.
Okay. Dan, right?
Yep.
Try and condense that. Start at the beginning again.
Okay.
You kind of ran through everything that you've written down. I want one point out of that.
Okay, there would be, we felt that we needed to educate the group members on the fourth tradition to work the honesty step, which would be the first step.
Educate group members about fourth tradition? Just remind me what the fourth tradition is. Each group should be autonomous. Okay.
You're up.
I'm Michelle Manatic.
Hey, Michelle.
Hi, everybody. Our group decided use the fundamental of recovery outlined in the 12, 12, and 12 to educate by the old-timers of the newcomers with the guidance of the loving higher power and group conscience. We would like to add the fourth, you know, with the fourth tradition, use the second concept. The final responsibility and authority for NA services rests with the NA groups.
Is that the fourth concept?
Second
concept, fourth tradition.
So both of the groups, it's about education. Sometimes it's a bit difficult to get across to an individual member stuff about you need to read the concepts. You know, they're still kind of struggling with, I know the step working guys over there on the literature table and you want me to read what? You know, so, but yeah, so both about education. Okay, let's move on to the third letter.
Now, letter number three.
Okay. Hi, my name's Jeremy. I'm an addict. We had a pretty clear winner. We did on our letter number three. Our highest idea was format needs to be clear. We especially meant to maintain the group's atmosphere of recovery, to maintain the group's meeting space. The group needs to make a very clear decision and carry it out.
Okay, clear format. As you guys just did one letter, I'm going to give you another shot at another bullet point, if you like. You got another bullet point on that?
He really wants to. Okay, here.
Happened in my home group. By the way, I'm Peter. I'm an addict. We had an announcement, even though it was a closed meeting. People were bringing kids, and we weren't enforcing the close. And we were announcing to take care of your kids, and a woman hauled off and hit her kid in the meeting and made us all victims to a crime. And when technically we were legally obligated in New York State to report the crime. So you got to be careful about announcements and stuff at meetings because you never know what you're going to get.
So clear announcements, clear format. Okay. Are there any other kind of general points? With just a couple of minutes, I don't really want to get too involved. Anything that we kind of missed, you think, on any of these letters that you feel we should record? So you need the microphone over there. I'm going to take three people. There's one there, this guy here, this lady here.
Well, regarding the bank account, I'm at the end, I kind of thought that if somebody is going to be willing to put their money in their personal account, then they should be willing to show their records to the meeting if somebody wants to see them.
That's a good point. I'm just going to take three people. There's one guy there and then this lady here.
My name's Chris Manatic, and I don't know exactly how much this pertains. I mean, it pertains a lot, I believe, because it's the basis for starting off. In our areas, we have started what's called an outreach committee. Outreach committee is responsible for an area to give secretary and GSR trainings. We also developed a newcomers workshop or Narcotics Anonymous workshop where new people coming into Narcotics Anonymous are educated on the 12 steps, traditions, concepts, what sponsorship is, and especially behavior, appropriate behaviors. Because it is a serious problem in probably a lot of areas. A lot of us probably lose a lot of meeting places and so forth because of children or loud motorcycles or swearing, just inappropriate behavior generally. So I just think that's something that education is really the basis to cure a lot of these problems.
Okay.
Read and use the service literature that's relevant.
Okay. I sense if we continued, we could generate a huge list, so I'm not going to take your point just now.
I'm an addict, man, Troy.
So, where's the microphone gone?
In Wyoming, my home group has one treasurer. He takes the money, we have a checking account. He fills out a report. We take the area once a month, and that's pretty simple. you know.
So keep it simple.
Amen.
Okay. So we're not going to do any more just now. What we're going to do, we're going to give out a second set of letters and do the same process. And there's three letters on the sheet, so I'm going to ask that these two groups do letter one. The table at the back there and the two tables at the back do letter two. And then these two tables at the front do letter three. And again, we're going to do like 5 past on that clock to go round again and discuss the second set of letters, which you'll have to bear with us while we just hand you those out. Hold on.
Hi, family. I'm Joe, and I'm an addict. And for letter one, what we came up with, it had to do with trusted servants giving reports and being part of the process at an ASE, the whole decision-making process. And what we came up with is the key thing that we felt was education. Educating our trusted servants. So.
Okay, so before you give him the microphone back, just say again what I'm going to write down. What was the solution to the question?
The solution was educating our trusted servants.
Okay.
On the concepts and traditions.
Now, before you begin, can you explain
Okay. I'm Justin Act. This one's on. We went to the second one, so I can't remember the first one. It has to basically do with the chairs and the vice chairs cannot make motions at the area. As far as the voting inside the area and the vice chair of area filling in for the subcommittee chairs. As far as our point on it, it's a bylaw/policy issue, and it looks like they may need to create an ad hoc. See about, you know, speaking to the chair about making an ad hoc to take a look at the policies of the area, to review them and change them so that they suit, basically.
So this letter one, your solution is that it's a policy issue and that the area may need to form an ad hoc committee to look at it.
Falls under the bylaws and the policies. Okay. To take a look at it.
That's good. Okay.
Okay, next table. We are on letter number one. Two.
Okay, basically what the group's consensus is that it is not in conflict with the 12 concept, and that we don't agree with the part about dropping the group from the meeting list. Maybe somebody from the area should go to the group to see if the group is still functioning before they do that, and the policy is set. You know, so that we can have participation and responsible participation from our members.
Okay, I'm sure. Don't give her the microphone back. So I'm trying to get one point that I can record. As a response to this letter, if you had to pen a response, I want one point.
Okay, the area needs to respond to the group.
Okay.
Before dropping the meeting, just dropping the meeting.
Okay, so the ASC responds to the group. Okay. If we get time, we'll come back and get other points from you, but if we can go to the next group. Saul?
Next table. Hi, my name is Dan Amanette. Well, what we looked at was we felt that it violated the 12th tradition, the 12th concept, and the second concept. The area itself obviously voted this in. If the person itself or their group felt that they didn't like that, that they could put in a new motion to change that. We did feel that outreach, because they obviously maintain the schedule, was the most important, group that would go out and determine if these meetings are still in, out there, and hopefully they would be able to communicate to the groups that come to the area. We also talked about literature sales at the area to bring them in so that they could get information about events and things to that effect. So, did that give you anything?
Okay. So I did ask for 1 point.
And 1 point. It violated every tradition and concept that we thought of.
Okay. I've recorded that it's a violation of traditions and concepts, and the solution is that the group or groups could make a motion to change it. Okay.
The next table is letter number 3. Hi, family. My name is Robert. I'm powerless.
Hey, Robert.
And our 3 questions or answers are simply yes, yes, and yes. Is this a violation of the first concept? Answer yes, due to the primary purpose is to carry the message directly to the addict who still suffers. Furthermore, number 3, the second one was that doesn't this concept say that the ASC is responsible for maintaining service on behalf of the of NA? That this we went through a little bit. We came up with yes, also the ASC is responsible. Because if one portion of that third letter kind of shifted the weight on H and I, but as we debated about, it came out that H and I falls under the ASC. So that will give that answer there, a yes also. And the final question, should the group be asked to stop this? And we were unanimous on yes, due to the violation of the first and the third concept. It also states there that this action of the group is doing, what the action of the group is doing is distraction. It's distracting them from their own primary purpose, which is stated at the end of the first concept. And so we had a combination of 3 yes, yes, yes.
Okay, I recorded yes, yes, yes. I feel it's a bit difficult to kind of capture the kind of reasonings why, but that's okay. Maybe we can go to the next group and if we can come back to you. Sorry, so it's okay.
This table gonna share about the letter number 2.
Hi, Michelle again.
Hi, Michelle again.
In this scenario, the ASC needs to step in with the H&I committee to send a disclaimer letter to the facility. H&I needs to send a disclaimer letter to the facility. But that is not NA behavior. It reflects poorly on us. That was self-willed behavior. Again, we think a learning day or an education of NA members and newcomers is needed. Thank you.
Okay. So that was letter 3? Okay.
Yes. Yes, we did letter number 3. And I don't think there was a consensus here that this was particularly a violation of the first concept. But we had a very clear consensus, a real high priority, that it was a violation of the fourth tradition because the actions of those meetings could, in breaking the law with people we should be cooperating with, could affect the rest of the NA groups in the area.
Solution?
Our solution was to leadership at the area service committee level to communicate with those groups what the consequences of their actions could be.
So, leadership at ASC about consequences. Okay. Okay, so maybe we can go back to we can go around again and we can get another point off each group if they want to add anything to any of the letters that they've not done or if they want to add something to the letters that they have done. or just general comments about this.
Jeff Addict, regards to the letter number two, the problem with the voting is a quorum. If you have people not showing, you don't have a quorum. No business gets done.
My name's Margie. I'm an addict. One of the things that we discussed in both of the letters, and we did number two, both pages, was the idea of consensus-based decision-making as opposed to voting. And we were discussing the fact that it kind of helped to eliminate some of the voting issues. If you have a consensus, you know, you have a group of people who are coming up with a decision that will satisfy everybody instead of people having to vote, and it gets into a, you know, a black and white issue and becomes much more of a gray issue and it's much easier to resolve.
I'm an Addie Amy. I'm from Michigan. Was it not the world that brought down the consensus-based decision-making? Was it not world that kind of wanted it, the fellowship to go that way? And maybe I'm completely misunderstanding, but I remember our RD coming back from, I have to believe it was a world conference, and really, boom, we went with it. Everybody fought for a while, but it is one of the best ways to come up as a group, as an area, as a region to make decisions. I just am kind of curious. I don't hear a lot of people. I know we even have groups, though, that still do the voting by the, you know, numbers. You know, you just, I had my experience with it is we never got anywhere. We continued on with the policy, changing policies, changing motions, making motions, voting on them, personality conflicts, consensus basis, completely wiped that out.
It's a big question. I can't even spell it, never mind talking about it. But, you know, consensus-based decision-making, we've had workshops like this over and over about consensus-based decision-making stuff, and we collected a lot of information. We've still not come up with anything definitive to send out to the fellowship about it. Different places do it in different ways. A vote is a measure of the consensus, if you like, at some point. You know, I've been kind of accused. I did a lot of my service in the European delegates meeting, and they don't vote. They use consensus all the time. And when I came into World Services and was an RSR in the way back machine 12 years ago, I would never vote. And then eventually I got out of my box by starting to vote rather than not voting, because I'd never had a service position where I was required to vote. And part of the deal of voting is for me to stand up and say, this is what I think. I'm okay to change my mind, but you want me to vote on something, this is what I think. So sometimes it isn't necessarily just an adversarial them and us. I'm on this side of the camp, you're on that side of the camp, and we are opposing each other. Sometimes it's an indication of what people think. So it doesn't necessarily have to be a bad thing to vote. It can be an indication of what you think about something. Consensus-based decision-making, it is sometimes, well, it's interpreted in lots of different ways by lots of different people. The general idea is that we form a group conscience, and that a higher power shows us what the group conscience is within that group of people, and that we somehow need to measure that. We can kind of measure it by saying, well, everyone's nodding, everyone's kind of agreeing. Or is there, you know, if I say, well, does anybody disagree with that? And then we move forward, and then, you know, but you need to develop a kind of atmosphere where people feel safe to actually say, well, actually, I do disagree. You know, some people are very comfortable with standing up against a crowd of people. Some people are not comfortable with that. So, you know, there's pluses and minuses to it. And a vote sometimes is just a measure of that we've had a discussion, we think we've formed a group conscience, let's monitor or measure that group conscience, if you like. So it's kind of a big question. This is why we kind of threw some of these things in, just to stimulate thought. And you know, the people that work at the office that respond to these send out some pretty damn good answers, you know, and They only actually end up at the World Board if they are more than the kind of regular run-of-the-mill stuff that they send out. I'm totally lost now. Saul's got the microphone. He was passing it around. Someone else is in the talk.
I'm going to add a call to Andrew. Another thing our group added to letter 2 of the 12 concept letters regarding this individual was new to the ASC, and we looked at the area's experience that created the policies in which they were discussing. And we also talked about the responsibilities of the area, the reputation of NA as a whole, and part of the solution, some of the experience within the group was to send a representative to the group that was in question, that was continuing to miss the ASC meeting, and within the policy it appeared that they would remove them from the meeting list, and it's truly a PI issue, but sending out a representative and just seeing if there was, the group was still meeting, you know, would then dictate whether they should take it out or not of the meeting list. Thanks.
I'm not even Crest Wyoming, and on my area was an alternate GSR, so somebody's always there with our voice, you know, so because we're responsible for the group and the fellowship. And if we need to make sure that somebody from our group is there, let them know where we stand.
So that's letter 2, yeah? So I'm going to write down, make sure of alternates. So encourage alternate positions.
Right. Michelle, letter 3. I just want to make sure that you know that we think you should send a letter to the facility that was not NA activity, not a meeting, but activity. We know, you know, that was smuggling activity that we are citing as a law-breaking behavior. Thank you, dear.
Thank you. Can I just respond to that briefly? I mean, we've got a problem in the area that I've adopted, that there's people going out doing stuff, PI, H&I, and if you then go to the facility and say, actually, this person isn't an NA member, but they've been coming in with NA literature, and they've been doing it for years, and they've been doing stuff that is carrying a message of sorts, does it not kind of present a strange front to the facility? And then you need to kind of follow up and back up, and you know, a lot of the focus of NA World Services at the moment, we're producing a public relations handbook, we've just done a public relations strategy, and it's public relations rather than PI or H&I. So the focus is forming relationships with these facilities rather than just turning up, doing a PI event and walking away and not knowing what they knew before we do the PI event. You know, go and find out what they know, do a presentation, and then go back a couple of months later, contact them, say, you know, what can we add to that? Did you know, you know, was it of use to you? So it's a bit of a tricky one to kind of trash what people are already doing and then not put something in its place. You know, that's the difficulty. And I guess, you know, a lot of you come from emerging communities where NA is struggling to grow. There's always more service required. You know, whether you're in a huge city with 1,000 meetings a week in your region, or you're in out in the boonies somewhere. That's an Americanism, isn't it? I learnt that one a while ago. Some podunk out in the boonies. Yeah? Okay. So, you know, and you're struggling to do some service and there's not enough people around and someone's been doing it for years and then you move to that town or you're trying to get the thing going and it's difficult to maintain some kind of service and maintain some kind of public image of Narcotics Anonymous that makes it relevant, you know. So it's a tricky question. I'm sorry, sir.
Hi, Robert from DC, an addict. I kind of want to just say something in general about all the letters. I'm a newcomer, and I have like 29 months, but that's new to me. And when I'm listening and hearing the educating the newcomer and, you know, the like the letter we want about the policy, I'm in total compliance. But if it's a policy and I come into it, it was there before I came. So they were doing whatever they're doing before I came. And if I come and I don't like it, I have to wait through the next policy voting time to add my opinion or whatever, whatever. That's my consensus. But if someone says, okay, the only requirement for membership is your desire to be clean, and then they say, well, you can't cuss, and my vocabulary is not that deep that I can say what I need to say without those words. And they say, well, you can't ride an airplane to the meeting because you're going to disturb the people. So I say, okay. See, they're starting to tell me it's getting away from the spiritual essence of me coming to get help spiritually with no... I come as I am. I can come as I am. But then when you start telling me I have to wear a certain thing, say a certain thing, and do a certain thing, I will feel... I'm probably the only newcomer in here. You know, everybody else probably has time. Because I find myself being the only one newcomer. I mean, I don't find a lot of newcomers in literature, what you call policy meetings, you know, because I want to know. But I do oftentimes feel like, why they keep beating on me? You know, I'm trying to learn what they. I'm trying to be educated, not trained. You know, in recovery. Thanks for letting me share.
Okay, thanks. Saul, I'm going to leave it there because we're going to wrap it up. I'm sorry, but not going to take any more. I hope you've enjoyed the style of this meeting, and you've all got a chance to talk to people rather than listen to me talk for 45 minutes and then Saul talk for 45 minutes. Although no doubt it will be interesting of some sort to some people. And we hope that you would, if you want to take this stuff off the tables, feel free. The style of this is to record information and then use it. And it's also designed to talk about difficult subjects. There's a lot of stuff come up. I realise we've only touched on some things. Some people have brought up some great points. And I thank you for letting me be of service. So would you want to wrap it up in a minute?
Thank you for your time and service.